Well, thank you very much, Anne Rutamati. I was sort of so absorbed, I forgot I was doing the next one. So Anne Rutamati and I were talking. Actually, we both came in individually. Anne Rutamati wanted to do the Jatakas, and I wanted to do the Avadanas, which I'll say a little bit more about later. But it's quite interesting that we've chosen those two things that that are sort of, they're definitely stories, traditions of stories in their own right. So I'd like to start looking at the Avadanas by actually looking at a completely different story that's not about the Buddha. It's actually a story about Padmasambhava. And in the life and liberation of Padmasambhava, Padmasambhava is leaving Tibet to tame the Rakshasas, and his disciple Yeshe Sogyal sings a lament for her teacher. In her sorrow she cries out, "The time has come to hide the Dharma like treasure in the shelter of body, speech, mind, virtues and words." So you can imagine her feeling, her teacher, her guide, the one who gave her everything, the one who gave her meaning, the one who gave her joy and wisdom, the one who gave her a vision of enlightenment, the person who gave her an embodiment of enlightenment, is leaving. And though enlightened herself, she laments. And I think that feeling that you get in the Buddhist tradition when the teacher gives his final teaching, which is that he has to leave, that feeling has stayed with me. And perhaps it's partly because I'm reflecting more on the fact that one day Bhante will also have to go to the copper-coloured mountain and tame the demonesses, perhaps. And what does one do? What does one do when, like Ananda, you realise that you're still a learner with much to do and the teacher is passing away, he who was so kind to me? What do you do with that final lesson? So what did the Buddhist Sangha do when the Buddha left? Someone who was so central, whose presence had reminded them constantly of what is possible, had reminded them to keep the precepts, not to lose heart, to keep going. And we all know what it's like to have someone like that around to some extent. You know that with some people, your precepts are much easier to keep. You know, you're not going to swear. And in my case, or, you know, be lazy or unmindful. There's some people when you're in their presence, your ethics goes up, your practice goes up, your shraddha goes up. You're reminded of the higher beauty of the spiritual life. So what did the early Sangha do when the Buddha was leaving, when the Buddha entered final parinirvana? Well, they hid the Dharma in the shelter of body, speech, mind, virtues and words. In other words, they hid the Dharma in stories, in the stories of people's lives, people who'd actually done it. And going back to the survey, it's good that I've gone back to the survey, I have a quote about the Avadanas and got a different quote. So between us both, you'll get the whole thing. He says, "Flame is lit from flame, and ultimately life's inspirations springs not from theories about life, but from life itself." So the early Sangha collected stories. We've heard about the Pali Jatakas, but there's also the Pali commentarial tradition, commenting on the Sutta Nipata. And the Mula Sarvastivadins, the Sarvastivadins and the Mahasanghikas also collected stories about the Buddha. Stories about the Buddha and his contemporary disciples and his future disciples. And they collected those stories in Sanskrit as Avadanas. And these Avadanas became very, very important and were accorded, in some cases, in a special status as a fourth basket, a separate basket of texts. Sometimes they're just weaved into the Vinaya, and sometimes they're given their own kind of collections in their own right. And they were some of the first Buddhist texts to be written down. So they were written down mostly in the first half of the first millennium. and some even earlier. So in the Eternal Legacy, Bhante talks about some passages being written down around the 3rd century BCE. And what's interesting is that they're finding more and more of these texts, and in the British Library, their very early collection of Avadanas, they were puzzled as to why the writing was so big and the language was so terse. And they puzzled and puzzled and puzzled. You can imagine them all sitting in their desks in some locked room in the British Library. And they suddenly realised, well, of course, they're notes for storytellers. So they were written in these big letters in sort of note form, just as prompts, just as I've got my notes in big letters in front of me now. They had needed them written down in a practical sense so that they could just have a prompt to remind themselves of the story. So they were very popular as the Jatakas were, and both in terms of storytelling and in terms of early Buddhist art in paintings and legends throughout the Buddhist world. And I was thinking there's some Avadanas that are very well known in our movement as well. The Buddha performing twin miracles, if anyone remembers that, water and fire. Mahakashapa and the leper's finger bell. The beggar woman whose offering wouldn't go out, she lit an offering lamp and the Buddha said, oh, you'll never ever be able to blow that offering lamp out. Maybe not so familiar. But they're all from the Avadanas, and considering how popular they were, what I find quite extraordinary is it's really difficult to get translations of them, English translations. So again, like the Jatakas, they're very moral in tone. They don't just tell the life of one character, they don't just tell one life of the character, but they emphasise many lives. They emphasise the way that karma is built up and comes to fruition in a future life, how actions in the past life are also relevant in the present life. There's a kind of phrase that's repeated again and again, where the Buddha says, the deeds that were performed and accumulated have now come together and their conditions have matured. They remain like an oncoming flood and will certainly come to pass. Who else will experience their results? Actions never come to nothing, not even after hundreds of millions of years. When the right conditions gather and the time is right, then they will have their effect on embodied beings. So that's the message of the Avadanas, and they particularly emphasise also vow, that if you have a strong intention, it will come to pass. Maybe not now, but maybe in the future. And there's this idea that if you what you intend will shape your practice in future times. So if you intend to be alive at the time of a future Buddha, you will be alive at the time of a future Buddha. If you vow to serve that future Buddha, your spiritual life will be imbued with service and you will serve the future Buddha.